Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter 2. And I'm going to read verses 13 to 16 out of the Message Bible. It reads, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family, revere God, and respect the government." Revere God, respect the government. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. We're going to touch around that this evening about loving your spiritual family. Because I was reading some passages in Colossians 3, and as I was reading, a thought popped in. And it was kind of like a silly thought, but it popped in anyway. I just heard, "Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing." Now, I didn't jump up and, you know, break into a dance or anything, but there was no reason, there was absolutely no reason in natural for that thought to pop into my head. And so I'm trying to figure out, why is this thought, why am I thinking this thought? And I thought to myself, why would anybody have to be told that? That there's nothing like the real thing. Like I said, there's no reason for it. And as I thought about it, I said, that has to mean that there are phonies out there. It has to mean that there are people who portray to be something that they are not. And there are people who are settling for it because they haven't yet learned how to identify the real thing. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to identify the real thing, and the real thing should be evident. It shouldn't be that hard to find the real thing. In Malachi 3, that's not the message title, nothing like the real thing. I'll tell you that in a minute. But Malachi 3, verse 18, in the Amplified Bible, a classic edition, it says, "Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him." So God is telling us that there should be a distinct difference, a noticeable difference, an easily detectable difference between folks that are serving him and folks that are not. And we should be able to see that difference. And we need to know what those characteristics are, not necessarily the characteristics of those that are phony. We need to know the characteristics of those that are the real thing for two reasons. One, we don't want to be fooled into following a phony. And two, we don't want people to think or to mistake us for the phony because of the way we choose to act or speak in any particular situation. We have to be mindful of who we are. See, when I was out in the world, I tried my absolute best to blend in. I wanted to act like the world. It wasn't my nature. That's why I changed my name and went by a nickname and all that, because Gregory couldn't act like that. But my alter ego, Foots, could. But I didn't really believe in the lifestyle, but I was just tired of being hurt. And so I said, okay, something has to change. And the people who knew me, who really knew who I was, and some that were strangers, just saw me with the group that I was running with, and they'd look at me and they'd say, "Foots, why are you with them?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That's not who you are. It's apparent to us that you're trying to be like them, but that's not who you are." And so I thought, okay, I got to really change my attitude and work harder at this. So I got a Jerry curl and and you know, and I just worked on changing my whole attitude because I wanted to be part of their lifestyle. And I'm telling, the reason I'm telling you this is because I couldn't just say I have a new outlook on life. I had to authenticate it, or I should say it had to be authenticated. In other words, everything about me needed to say, this is the life that I've chosen. Everything, no matter what happened, there's a specific lifestyle that had to be prevalent in me if I was going to be authenticated. If I was going, and that just means genuine. If people were going to really believe that's who I was. So I had to establish that who I had become was genuine, was a real person with real ideas. And the authentication was not just what I wore, you know, clothes or how I styled my hair. It had to go much deeper than that. I had to make sure that my behavior was a genuine depiction of who I proposed to be or purported to be. My behavior had to line up with who I said I am. My behavior had to line up with who I said I am. And there's something else that I had to consider. And it's something we all need to consider. If we want to be seen as being authentic, our actions could never be based on circumstances. Our actions had to be consistent with who we said we were, regardless of the circumstance. And that wasn't always easy to do. I would practice certain looks in the mirror so I could keep my face just so. Even in raising my sons, sometimes, you know, children do things and it's just so funny. You can't discipline them because you'd be too busy laughing at what they did. So I would go and stand in front of the mirror and laugh and then just abruptly stop and get that hard, stone-cold killer look on my face so that I could just give a look and they would know, uh-oh, we went too far. Dad's about to lose it. But it's important, I'm going to say it again, to understand that if you're going to authenticate who you are, it has to come out regardless of the circumstance. You can't be one way when things are fine and another way when things aren't fine. You have to be consistent with who you say you are if you want to be authentic. See, folks shouldn't have to say or ask you who you are and what you stand for. They shouldn't have to. They should see it. They should feel it. They should hear it. Whenever you're doing something or saying something, it should be evident that you operate according to a different set of standards. Look at Acts 4, in the Amplified Classic. This is talking about Peter and John. It says, now when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools of common men with no educational advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Now, I think it's interesting to say, they said when they seen their unfettered eloquence, they didn't get excited or upset because they were being threatened. They stayed calm. They stayed confident because they were sure, they were convinced of who they were. And they weren't concerned about what anybody else thought about it. Peter had just preached a message that caused 5,000 people to come to Christ. You think he's going to do that and then be concerned because there are a few people that don't agree? I don't think so. And their behavior, now these are the same folks that when Jesus was crucified, they ran. Peter denied Christ. That's what the folks were used to seeing in these men. Now they saw something different. Peter just preached the message. People recognized there was something different about Peter and John because what they were saying, how they said it, how they acted, how they spoke, they came to the conclusion these guys had to be with Christ. Had to be. There's no other way that this transformation could take place. So in Colossians 3, you can turn there, Colossians 3, because as Christians, our speech and our behavior should authenticate who we say we are. Our speech and our actions should authenticate the truth that we're new creatures in Christ, regardless of any circumstance. Regardless of any circumstance, and yeah, I've been talking on this line for the last several weeks, and we'll keep doing it until God tells me to stop. Our speech and our behavior are authenticated by what we say and what we do. In Colossians 3, Message Bible, says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Very, very simple. If you're serious, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. Not what's going on around you. What's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Verse 3 and 4. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Verse 5. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Everything that doesn't line up with Christ, we have the responsibility to kill it off. And I'll tell you something, folks. We're the only ones that can. I can only kill those things off of me. I can't kill them off of you. All I can do for you is tell them there's some things you need to kill off. But you're the only one that can kill them off. So the question is, how strongly do you want to be authenticated as being genuine in your belief in Christ, and in that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus? How badly do you want that? That's what we have to look at. Killing off everything connected with that way of death, sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now. If you're with someone, or I'll say it to the screen, say, I know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Make sure, it's like when I used to feed my sons, you feed babies, they eat it. You say, okay, all gone. We have to make sure that it's all gone. What does it say at the end of all gone? For good. For good. Not all gone, bring it back. All gone, bring it back. It's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Those are things that will authenticate that there's really nothing different about you. And that's not the type of authentication that we want. Once that butterfly comes out of its cocoon, it doesn't continue to crawl. It doesn't act like a caterpillar anymore. It acts like a butterfly. Once we were out in the world, then we became new creatures in Christ. We have to act like we're new creatures in Christ and stop acting like and doing things like the world. Colossians 3, verse 9. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. You're finished with it. It has nothing else to do with you. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. See, now I'm dressed in a new wardrobe. It's very important. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe, custom made. Custom made. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider. Uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ, and everyone is included in Christ. See, what God is doing, folks, is He's getting us to strip away anything that will cause people to doubt our authenticity as believers. And we have to make sure that whatever it is, and it doesn't matter how much we like it or enjoy it, if it takes away our authenticity, if it causes us to be less than genuine believers, we have to get rid of it. Doesn't matter how popular it may be. If it doesn't line up with who we say we are in Christ, we have to get rid of it because we want to be outfitted so that people will look and say, these folks are authentic. They really believe this. They really mean this. And they act like it. I've watched them. That's what you want people to say. And I'll tell you something else. You'll love it when adversity comes because it's your opportunity to demonstrate that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can't do that if nothing ever happens. So when things, we love it when things pop up. We don't get upset about it. Like I said, we're done with that old way of life. Everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. We're not going to do anything that causes anyone to doubt our authenticity as believers. Period. Our new wardrobe is defined by Christ. Everything is defined by Christ. Colossians 3:12 says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. This is not just talking about the garments you wear. It's talking about your entire attitude from head to toe, inside and outside, everything and anything that makes you you. That's what this is talking about. When it talks about put on a new wardrobe, wardrobe hand-picked by God. See, we think it might be just clothing. No, it's your whole attitude, all your perspectives, every way you look at something. It's all been changed from head to toe. Now when people see you, they see compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. We're even-tempered. We're content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. It says, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Now I pause there after I read that, and I've read this passage of scripture many times in various translations. But it just kind of hit me today because I'm thinking this says, regardless of what else you put on, wear love. That says something powerful, folks. You can put on compassion. You can be the most compassionate person that ever walked this planet. If you're not wearing love, you're not authentic. You could be the most kind. Your kindness can just be overwhelming. Just overwhelm people with kindness, but you don't love, it's not authentic. You can forgive anybody of anything at the drop of a hat. If you're not robed in love, you're not authentic. And that will cause us to start to see how important it is to not only have love, but to have love oozing out of us, regardless of the situation, because that's who we are. Genesis tells us that we're made in the image and likeness of God. Bible tells us that God is love. That God is love. We're made in his image and his likeness, and he's love. So that means we must be love. If we're made in his image, if God is love, or since God is love, and we're made in his image and after his likeness, then we should be love also. We should be love also, and we should love to love. Colossians 3, 12 to 14, I'm going to read it again, Message Bible. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive, and wearing your basic all-purpose love garment. Folks, that's how you prove that you're in Christ. That's the only way we can prove that we're in Christ. John 13, verse 34 and 35, the Message Bible, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, so he's speaking to us. He said, let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see the love you have for each other, not when they hear about it. When they see the love, they'll know you're one of Jesus' disciples. The Amplified Bible, the same verses, says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love for one another. So that's telling us that love is not a one and done thing. It says if you keep on loving, that means it's a continual process. No matter what happens, no matter what comes down, we have to always be found loving one another. Period. Remember we started off where it said, love your spiritual family. Why is that important? Well, if the world sees that we're not loving one another, then they're gonna think, well, how can they love me if they can't even love people they call brothers and their brothers and their sisters? If they can't love them, how are they going to love me? And they're going to say, it's not authentic. Because if it was authentic, and they say, this is what Jesus said to do, and they are not doing it, then they must not really be his followers. And you know something? When I think about that, it makes sense. And I say that because that's the way I thought. When I was in that church, and my pastor got into a fist fight during the service, I thought, these people can't believe. They can't believe that there is a God. And they definitely don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. They don't believe they're in God's house, because if they thought they were in God's house, they wouldn't be fighting in God's house. And so I labeled them as phonies. Then I got a new term for them, granola bars, because they were fruit flakes and nuts. But it wasn't until I came to a place where I heard the truth and I found out that while there may be people that act like that, that's not who Christians are. And that's not how you live a Christian life. And the first thing I learned that I had to do was forgive them. Because when you see folks fighting in church, when you see your leaders in church fighting, you don't think that this lifestyle is authentic. Because if it were authentic, they wouldn't be fighting. They'd be forgiving. They'd be loving one another. And love isn't just an, it's not just an undergarment. Love is foundational. In Ephesians 3, verse 17, it tells us, you don't have to turn to it. It tells us that we're to be rooted and grounded in love. So love is the foundation. But love is not just the foundation. Love is our outer clothing. Because wherever we show up and whenever we show up, people should see the love before they see us. They should feel the love coming from us before they ever see us. Just when we show up, they know something changed. I don't know what it is, but something changed. All of a sudden, I don't feel tense. And then we show up. And then they know why it changes as they start talking to us. So love is foundational. As I told you, mentioned before in Ephesians 5, we talked about God being love. Not in Ephesians 5, I don't think I gave you a scripture. But in Ephesians 5, the first two verses in the Amplified Bible, it says, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him. Follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. Folks, the Apostle Paul, I love reading about his conversion. He went from hating intently to loving intently. He loved the people as much as he had hated them before. Mind you, he was going out to arrest Christians to have them put to death. He goes from that to now ministering to people to get them to become Christians so they can have eternal life. And he didn't care what happened to himself. He talks about in Acts all the things that he went through, and he concludes it by saying, but none of these things moved me. It didn't matter how many times he'd been beaten and robbed by robbers and robbed by other Christians. None of that moved him. It didn't matter to him. Why? Because he was authentic in what he believed. He had an experience with Christ, and it was very real to him, and it changed his entire outlook. Well, if we've had an experience with Christ, the same thing should happen. It should change our entire outlook. My wife always says, all people need to do is have an experience with God and it'll change the way they think. And we'll look at people doing some things that we feel they shouldn't do and just say, they haven't had an experience with God. Yes, they're born again, but they haven't had an experience with God. They haven't had an experience where they actually felt the tangible presence of God. Because once that happens, your whole life changes. Paul had that kind, he had a Damascus Road type experience. I had a Damascus Road type experience. Although I didn't get more or less knocked down. I got lifted up. I thought I was holding on to my chair and I find out I'm standing up. I think I'm sitting down, holding onto my chair because I'm not going to tell anybody that I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. And I found myself standing up. I told people, yeah, I'll go to church once and I'm not going to feel anything. The Holy Ghost isn't going to come all over me. Well, I kept my word. I did go to church once. I just never left once I got here. Because I found out that the life was authentic. It's authentic. So my responsibility, because I believe that, is to be an imitator of God and to copy him and follow his example. That's what my job is. My job is to walk in the same steps that Jesus walked in. That's my job as a believer if I want to be authentic. If I want to be authentic, those are the things I'm going to have to do. Love is our basic all-purpose garment, and we should never be caught without it. Never. It's our undergarment. It's our outer clothes. It's our overcoat. We should be just saturated in the love of God. And as I said, it should be felt by others. People should hear it in our speech. Just the way we talk to other people should say, I love you. I love you. And not the romantic kind of love. We seem to know how to make our voices sound like that. But I'm talking about the agape love of God, love that says, I'll give everything I have for you because I love you. They should hear it in our speech. They should feel it in our actions. It's not by accident that the first line of the motto of this church is that it's a place where the love of God is evident. Before anything else, when you come here, you should see, you should feel the love of God. It should be evident. If it's not evident, it doesn't matter that the Word of God is taught. It won't matter that the Spirit of God is directing, and you won't even care that the power of God would be in manifestation. All you're thinking about is, these people don't love me. These people don't love each other. The love of God must be evident. The social, I'm convinced that the social and the political issues of this world will greatly improve if the church, just if the church, started loving each other. If we did what Jesus did and just loved each other the same way Christ loved us. Now, how did Christ love us? He died for us. He went through pain and agony and anguish for us. He took the blame for the things that we've done wrong because he loved us. What are we willing to take because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? What type of pain and anguish are we willing to go through? What type of death? Some of us need to die to our thoughts, die to some of the words we've been speaking. But what is it that we're willing to just let go of just because we love the same way Christ loved us? He said, forgive as quickly and completely as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. Are we willing to do that with one another? Just forgive. See, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. You didn't either. Jesus went to the cross. He forgave you before you forgave, before you asked for forgiveness, you were already forgiven. Jesus didn't come to all of us and say, Are you asking me for forgiveness? Yes, I forgive. Okay, I forgive you. I absolve you of your sins. No, he went to the cross for the sins of people who are not even born yet. Not even born yet. He's our advocate. So when the devil accuses, he's there to tell God, I paid the price for that. They're good. And the devil says, yeah, but they also did this. I paid the price for that. They're good. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. And if he told us to love one another the same way he loves us, we can do it if we want to. And I think we don't need to work on the love part. I think we need to work on the want to part. Because people do things and we don't want to love them. I'm going to say this. there's something that there's a phrase that folks use, that Christians use, and every time I hear it sends chills down my back. We say that as believers, we have to love the unlovable. Now that's, you say, well, what's wrong with that? Who is it that you're considering unlovable? For God so loved the world. And since God so loved the world, that means the entire world is lovable. But more than that, when we make those kind of statements, and we remember what the Bible says about the words that we speak, when we make that statement, we're telling ourselves that this person really doesn't deserve to be loved. When we say, I have to love the unlovable, you're saying, I have to love someone who doesn't deserve to be loved. Well, because God so loved the world, there isn't a person in this world that does not deserve to be loved the same way Christ loves you and the same way Christ loves me. And God expects that that person will feel that type of love through us, his children. So when I think about it, now I understand why that thought came into my head. There's nothing, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. There's nothing like the real thing. That's the way God wants people to feel about the love displayed by his children towards them. That's why Jesus said to so let our light shine, let our light so shine before men so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. When we get people to the place where they feel the genuine, the authentic love of God, they'll want to receive Jesus. Because that's not a feeling that you get for a few moments and then you don't want again. When you get that feeling, you want it to stay forever. You want it to stay forever. And you want to stay around people that give forth that kind of feeling. You don't want to go back the way you were. That's why that song, I'm never going back to the way I was. But the way we were. It's not by accident, folks. God so loved the world. God is love. He made us in his image and after his likeness. He had Jesus tell us to love one another the same way he loved us so that everyone will see our love and know that he's real. Because there's nothing like the real thing. Baby. Before I let you go, just want to do two more things. If there's anyone out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, you've never experienced the love of God by experiencing salvation, just going to ask you to just make this confession after me. We're going to do it quickly. It doesn't take long. Guarantee it won't hurt. Say, Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried and went to hell in my place. And I believe that after spending three days in hell, God raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you. And when I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, the Bible says you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You just confess that with your mouth. Now, if you believed it in your heart, then do just what it says on the screen. Contact us, email, mail, phone, and just tell us, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg, and I'm now a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we will send you an information packet, a free information packet, just to let you know more about who you've become in Christ and just get you going off in the right track. And you're always welcome. If you have a question or a comment about tonight's message, use the same means, contact me. I may not answer you the same day, but I promise you, I will answer you. You will get a response from me. From me. I won't have someone else respond for me. I'll respond personally. If you write me, I'll respond.